My dear friends in Christ, graduates, school board, all friends and family members, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I simply want to share with you the remarkable words of that Roman centurion, and I think you see them on the screen now, from Luke chapter 7, verse 6. The centurion said through friends to Christ, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume even to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." This is the word of God. Please be seated. I came across a website this week called the 5oclockclub.com. It's for people who want to build a resume for themselves who believe that they have absolutely nothing to offer a prospective employer. One of the career counselors associated with this website, a lady by the name of Kate, was on a national television program, and she was challenged to prepare a resume for, quote, an ordinary housewife. And they picked a lady who had never been in the workforce, who had been at home as a homemaker for 20 years, a lady who believed that she truly had nothing to offer any prospective employer. But Kate, this career counselor, worked her magic, and she developed an impressive resume for this ordinary housewife. And so impressive was this resume that when Kate was all done with it, the folks at the television station remarked that they should have picked someone who really had nothing to offer, because they were just convinced that an ordinary housewife could not possibly have such an interesting and impressive resume. And by the way, to finish that story, Kate, that career counselor, wrote the following. She said, "I was successful with the ordinary housewife because in real life, most homemakers are not at home doing nothing for 20 years. I like that, most are not doing nothing. That's what she said. And then she said, "Everyone has something to offer. Everyone has something to offer." That was the thinking of the Jewish elders in our gospel reading. Even though the Jews despised the Romans and their occupation of their land, there was at least one Roman soldier, this centurion, that the Jews of that area had actually come to like and appreciate. So when the centurion's servant became sick to the point of death, some of the Jewish elders went and they pleaded that servant's cause with Jesus, whose reputation by now was that of a miracle healer. So, in making that plea, what do? Like Kate, they approach Jesus like career counselors, and they quickly draft up a resume for the centurion. We'll call him Aurelius Plinius. We don't know what his name was, but that's good enough. And they plead his cause based on his resume to say that he is worthy. And so we go to verses 4 and 5. They came to Jesus. They pleaded. He said, "He is worthy to have this done for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who helped build our synagogue." And who knows what other kinds of things they may have said about this centurion to further pad his resume, to try to get a point across the point that he really is worthy of this blessing. He's worthy of a miracle. He's worthy of Christ. And that's exactly the kind of thinking that is never far from our minds either. Everyone has something to offer, right? And actually, there are churches that build their entire theologies on that notion. It's why some churches don't baptize their babies, for example, because they believe you have to offer something. You have to give your decision, your commitment, some kind of a feeling that you have to have. But it's also our own homespun theologies that often make that mistake, as if relating to God is all about padding our resumes. I've heard it over and over again. even from lifelong Christians, people who have been sitting in the pews for decades. But they still say things like this: what did I ever do wrong to deserve this disease? I love my wife, I've loved my dog, I helped build the church. Check it out on my resume, it's right there. He's a pretty good guy. And he even helped build the church. I've heard this one too. I do better than most, and this is what I get. As if the resume entry, "I'm better than most people," should earn us some kind of immunity from life's trials and troubles. Or I've heard this one: I believe there's good in everyone, so I just put it in my resume. It says, "He's a good person." So what's up with God that He doesn't seem to respect our resumes? I mean, everyone has something to offer, right? Can't God see that and treat me a little better? Of all things today, we are instructed by a pagan Roman centurion on the proper way to approach God. He had an impressive resume. If even the Jewish elders are talking about it, it must be something. But you notice what the centurion does with his resume? Let's read it again in verses 6 and 7. He says to the Lord, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to come under, to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not even presume to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." He just crumples up his resume and he throws it in the trash. Despite all the accolades of these Jewish elders who are praising him, he says, "I am not worthy to have you come to my home, even to approach you. My resume has nothing to offer. But as one who has soldiers under his authority, and I know that my word will be done, Lord, I trust that your word is also powerful and that it will accomplish what you say. Just say the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed." It reminds me of what Paul did with his resume. It was a very impressive resume. And he lays out all of his credentials to the Philippians, but then he says, "I count them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And it's amazing that this pagan Roman centurion should grasp this. Because there are a lot of people who spend a lifetime in the church who can't seem to get this straight. They still think that their hope of heaven depends on the strength of their resume. As if we can impress God the way we might try to impress a prospective employer. But the centurion teaches us that in the kingdom of our Lord, we can crumple up our resumes and we can count them as so much rubbish. And it's okay to do that. It's even liberating to say, "My resume has nothing to offer. I am not worthy." It's okay to say, along with the Old Testament patriarch Jacob, "I am not worthy of the least of these deeds of steadfast love and faithfulness that you've shown to your servant." And it's okay to sing songs like we just sang, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Imagine that, a resume with nothing to offer, which is exactly the way the Heavenly Father wants to see your resume. It's the best resume of all. Because it's when you let go of your own merits that you take on the merits of Jesus Christ. His perfect life, His willing obedience to the Father, His amazingly gracious sacrifice on the cross, His mighty resurrection in victory over death, are the outline of a resume the likes of which the world has never seen before, sufficient even to impress a holy and almighty God. And best of all, that resume becomes ours through our baptism into Christ and through the faith that clings to Him. Paul said it this way in Romans 4, "However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. All right, graduates, you're about to enter high school. All of us here wish you the very best, and that in the years ahead you will increase in knowledge, but more so that you will increase in godly wisdom, and that you will remember that you are baptized children of God. You have been baptized for each and every moment that you will face in high school, as we've been talking this past year under our theme. And at the end of high school, if everything goes well, you're going to get something like this. Now, this is from Napoleon, so our daughter received this last week. It's a diploma. And there's the diploma right there. But it's also a career passport complete with a high school resume that lists all the things that you've been doing and participating in, all the volunteer things you did, the clubs you were in, that make you such a wonderful person. And that's what life is all about, right? In the eyes of your teachers and your school administration and the employers of this world, it's all about the resume. Whether it's written or it's spoken, you have to prove yourself worthy of your grade, worthy of your diploma, worthy of your job, worthy of your paycheck, and the pressure will never stop throughout life. But there's one place you don't have to prove anything. It's a place of sanctuary where you can throw away those resumes like yesterday's garbage. A place where you will be judged worthy on the strength of someone else's resume. A place where you can say, and say it with fullness of joy, Lord, my resume has nothing to offer, for I claim the merits of Christ. That's the resume God wants you to bring here. Uncluttered. See it there on the screen? Uncluttered by any claims of goodness or worthiness. A blank slate upon which God can write the words that really count for our lives. Words like tetelestai. Remember that one? Paid for. It's been paid for. That's the word he used on the cross when he died for your forgiveness. Words like charis, grace. You are covered by grace, the undeserved love of God. Words like apokalasso, reconciled. We who have been estranged from the Father are back together with Him again. And words like baptizo. You know what that one is, right? Baptized. You're baptized into Christ. Baptized into His death for your sins. Baptized into His resurrection for your life. Baptized for each moment that you're going to face in the world and the years ahead. Now that's a resume. Written not by your own hand or by your own works, but written by the hand of God upon each of our lives in the blood of His Son. And if we have taught you nothing else, graduates, in these years at St. John Lutheran School, this we want you to know more than anything, that you are worthy before God, not on the strength of your own resume, but on the strength of Christ's resume. That was the posture of the Roman centurion. And did you hear what the Lord said to him? Even in Israel, I have not seen such great faith. Oh, may the same be said of you, graduates, today and always and forever. And then one day in heaven, we will lay down our trophies and our awards and our resumes and our certificates, all those things that celebrate us, we're going to lay them down. And we're going to celebrate the one whose resume is sufficient for all of us. May God uphold you, graduates, in faith. And in living each and every day, each moment, as His baptized sons and daughters. Let us pray. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. Naked, come to Thee for dress. Helpless, look to Thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.